A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, this is Captain Poodle speaking. Are you ready to find love?
Yes, ahoy, matey.
Love.
Do-do-do-do.
Exciting and new. Go online. They're catfishing you.
Shocker.
Fiance.
Soon you'll be flying to parts unknown.
90-day fiance.
Marrying someone you've only met on your phone.
Be they French or Chinese, a brand new K-1 visa's the key.
Ooh, the key to what, Poodle?
To love.
It's reality gate. Let's love.
Y'all, our long national nightmare is almost over. Not talking about COVID, because that's still going on.
That's a world nightmare.
Because, y'all, people still won't get their vaccinations. So if you're listening and if you're worried about, if you're thinking, I don't want to get a vaccination. It'll be fine. I don't need it. Everyone else is getting vaccinated. We're asking you again, please get your COVID vaccination. If not for you, for your parents, for your children, for your neighbors, for your significant other. Please.
For Poodle's sugar daddy.
He's barely hanging on by a thread, y'all.
He's got to stick around until the wedding band is on, and then y'all can come around and cough on him if that's what you want to do.
Ooh, his agita barely lets him get that DNR. He can't necessarily make it yet. So
wow, you
give
just
me
made
a couple
an
of months.
Agita joke. We've got to move on, y'all.
Give me a couple of months. We'll get him rehabbed.
We're going
to
get letters.
Sign that
we're
going to
get letters, y'all.
And then the smothering.
This is Happily Ever After, Tell All, Part 1. This is Reality Gaze. And y'all, we're doing something a little different just because we'll see. But we think we're only going to – I know we normally do every show in two parts.
Two-part shows.
I think we're going to do this in one part because we feel like we can do it all. But we also – we have – a woman has a right to change her mind. So if we get going, we could
– Mm-hmm.
But basically – we've had so much Fuckboy Island to do, and we've been ramrodded. We're like, we think we can do this all in one for you.
Also with tell-alls, they're more informative and drama-inducing, so it's much more of a spectator sport.
Yes.
So we're going to have less reactions to their reactions.
Yes. If you're watching on the Intimate Portrait, we are remote, but goat.
We are today because I honestly have had too much of you.
Yeah, I could tell. Days. I could tell he was like, "I'm happy to do a remote show."
We were
going to do two today and have a day off tomorrow. That went to shit. My lawn people came on a Saturday.
Yep.
And so then it's a Mercury retrograde around here.
I was handling drama on internet
and then Poodle had to poop, so we had to stop.
Don't tell everyone. I want everyone to think I don't poop.
Y'all.
And when I do, it's a little sugar cube.
Yeah. Ding. Yeah. He leaves the microphone on, so I just hear like a fairy get its wing. It doesn't sound like Juliana going to the bathroom at all. Y'all, if you haven't looked at our meme of that our sissy Christina on the sissy team, Christina, our editor.
Every time, and mostly because Y'all, I can't help but not laugh at farts.
Oh,
at fart sounds.
It's so
still
good.
The
it's
funniest
on our,
things.
It's on our Instagram at Reality Gays Podcast. It's chef's kiss. Chef's kiss, Christina.
And we just finished Fuckboy Island. If you haven't jumped into the Fuckboy Island pool, the pool filled with lots of DNA, probably there.
Yeah. It's we had a good time
it's
watching
a great
it.
Show. I did not love the way it ended. But I understand how things ended that way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't like it.
Not a great step for feminism, y'all, but that's okay.
not even feminism. It's not even that. It's not a great step for women in general. It doesn't make a good statement.
It is interesting of us coming, because I did read an article in Time written by two women who felt like it was. And I went, huh. Okay.
Did they watch the last two episodes?
Yeah, they watched the whole thing. And they hate they didn't like the ending. They didn't like the ending.
I think you can see everything from an empowering perspective if you choose to.
You can see I'm gonna say you can see anything from any perspective of what you choose to. Boy,
no,
I've seen that.
But I think there's a trend in our culture for the last 20, 25 years to see things to take a slant at a feminist interpretation of something that is any type of looking into something or retelling of a narrative or something like that. I love that kind of stuff.
I will say this is totally up, but I just reminded me, y'all, a real quick announcement. 90 Day Fiance is going across the pond to 90 Day UK. I don't think we've talked about this on the
show. Hello, Governor.
Hello, Governor. Do you want to get in a complicated and long and drawn out relationship that will go nowhere?
Do you have a lover who you want to see come over to the UK?
Blimey. y'all, we're
on the shoot.
So 90 Day UK is casting. Their Instagram reached out to us and said, will you let people know? So we wanted to let you know we're going to do an Instagram post about it as well. It's
who cares?
Yeah, at 90 Day UK. And y'all, best believe we're going to be talking about it too.
We're not sure how we'll be able to watch it.
I think it's going to be on Discovery Plus, and I'm confused.
I don't know.
A lot of our listeners say they do get Discovery Plus in UK. Some people said they don't.
Yeah.
But then I'm like, are they Carl's wives? What's a Carl's wives in UK? I guess still a Carl's wife
no,
in Britain.
What is the Nigel's wife.
Nigel! Nigel, I can't get the telly to work. Nigel,
come here and have...
Nigel!
Percival.
Percival, go get your daddy. Go get your daddy. Mommy, what's your
mommy
daddy?
Mommy wants tea, Percival.
Nigel, where the hell are my crumpets?
Y'all, our British humor is going to be offensive. I'm just telling you that now.
Nigel's wife.
I enjoy that. Good job, Poodle.
And Percival.
And Percival.
Oh. Give us what Percival looks like. I think Percival's definitely a King Charles Spaniel or a Terrier or some type of Yorkie.
I thought like a just really ugly, mangled English bulldog.
Possibly.
Just kind of slobbering everywhere when he walks.
Like Tom's dog. Yeah.
Yes, he farts a lot.
in front of the Queen!
This is so dumb.
Nigel, I found a new podcast. The Really Gay Americans.
Just absolutely spot on.
That show's going to go bad for
us. Is it still okay to say faggots?
No, okay.
I have a feeling she's a lot more offensive in her thinking than Carl's
wife. Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah.
So anyway, y'all, go to 90 Day UK if you want to be on 90 Day Fiancé or you know someone who is.
Nigel's wife is going to love it.
I guess one of you has to live in Britain.
Yes.
Or in the UK.
I'm thinking about starting to get on one of those sugar daddy websites.
Because the UK, I'm going to be a dumb American, but the UK is Ireland as well, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. And Scotland. Mm-hmm. So for some people are thinking it's just England. It's not. It's the UK.
Yeah. United Kingdom.
Your Irish sissies can get your dick
that's
across
Scottish.
The pond.
That's yeah. Scottish.
We got to move on. Let's do this. Any other announcement, poods?
I think that's it. Oh, you guys, we have one more tell-all, part two of this, and then we're going the other way.
We are.
Yo, it's Toe! Welcome to Toe. Toe is back. Toe is back in 2 weeks. So,
you know,
if you missed Chicken Jenny and Submit, who really did? If you missed Ari and Binyam again.
No, didn't.
Did you miss Corey and Evelyn?
A little.
To see her doing like this while he dances
in a
club.
It's like watching Anfisa with George right now.
Oh God, every moment is just delicious.
Y'all, we're on. I think that's why Poodle liked this tell-all more than me. I thought it was kind of a little lackluster, but I think it's because y'all, we just finished the season. The first season of the Happily Ever After tell-all on our Patreon, which is maybe one of the best tell-alls
we've
ever seen. And now we're into season four of 90 Day Fiancé, which actually gives me joy to watch.
There was a moment in the watch-along where I actually had to get up off the couch and take a moment. Not because I was laughing. Because I was in utter disbelief at what I'd just seen.
Y'all, because all I'm saying is our reaction when we discovered Nicole cheated on Azen.
And the way in which she told him.
And the way, in the horrible way in which she's been acting towards him. Wow.
God, there are very few people who I actually deplore more.
Yeah.
Anyway, on a reality show. Yeah.
That's on the $5 tier on our Patreon and Supercast. So if y'all want to jump into that, the first episode was listed free. Also, we want to remind you, y'all, they just put The Single Life on television. We already covered that. So if you search,
We already done did it.
So did Cray Cray as well. I noticed they did a post about it. We've been ramrodded with Fuckboy Island.
Ours is on our free feed.
It's on our free feed. So if you just... Yeah. Look on our free feed or do a search of Reality Gay Single Life. It should pop up wherever you listen to podcasts.
You can see us talk about He Who Shall Not Be Named anymore because we're never covering him again.
Never covering him. But The Single Life had some good moments. So,
Yeah. Definitely. You can find out all about the murder cult that is trying to cut off Danielle's head so they can resurrect their dear leader.
After she's had sex.
Yes. So, in mid-climax, and the blood washes down.
This is getting descriptive.
And suddenly,
all right.
Adrian Malvoy appears out of a cloud of smoke, and the three witches laugh and immediately have sex with him over their dead bodies.
I still think they're angels for Della Reese, but sure. Now, I did hear that some people said that Danielle ended up mentoring Nicole. So that went great.
I wouldn't trust Danielle to mentor
Roly Poly. Okay, y'all. Part one tell all. Let's jump into it.
That is absolutely ridiculous.
It is. Everyone is arriving, so we're all getting y'all. Again, this just shows why they didn't. I told Poodle, y'all, there was 15 minutes of just people showing up. It wasn't even the actual tell all. I don't know. I like the behind the scenes, but this is a little much.
One of the reasons I think is that this was a slog of a season. I think even more than season five, which is saying something.
I actually agree.
But I think we saw similar beats the entire storyline from Julia and Brandon. So that's one couple who is completely non-compelling.
I hope we don't see them for like several years.
Never again. And then we saw some drama with Kalani and Asuelu, but it's all similar beats again.
I don't mind watching because I disagree. Because last season with Kalani and Asuelu, his family flipped out, and Asuelu kind of doesn't know how to respond to it.
Right.
Now we see Asuelu. standing up for himself and his family.
I get it. I'm just saying it is still similar plot points.
But yes, it's the same problems too.
Yeah. And Andre and Libby, y'all, we've totally stalled out. Now it's just Jerry Springer fighting and me trying to not go jerk off in a closet.
I've enjoyed their season.
No,
because it all kind of came out. Finally,
I guess.
It took a lot of it, but I enjoyed that it all just woo.
And then Angela and Michael's just like
not familiar.
Yeah, well, no, it's hard to watch. We know she's doing it for the attention and the clout.
Yeah.
We know he's never going to get here.
No.
It's never going to happen.
It's
she's like straight up abusive to him.
It's as you said, it's circling the pool.
Yeah. Drain.
Gary. That's what I said. That's what I said. So y'all, they're arriving. Mike is in his Hyatt Regency Inn, and he is, you know, getting ready, saying
putting on his best whatever face.
He's saying, I haven't seen her in months. He's like, it's a shit show. That's what it is. We kind of have
bring
on the pain. Yara is saying that her and Jovi have big issues. She's saying, you know, he's a nice father, but at the same time,
he wants to jump into his life.
Like Poodle said, the same beats we've just have been seeing over and over and over. Brandon.
Did you see the shade that Asuelu threw at Kalani where she's like, yeah, we're taking it day by day. Things are better. And Asuelu just straight up says, she doesn't want to go to Samoa because she doesn't care about my culture. Boom.
Boom.
Okay.
That's going to come up and not go well.
I will say, as always, Kalani's faces are the part of the tell-all. We are all Kalani. She's sitting there, when things go down, spoiler alert, Angela shows her boobies. But that was all on the the promos.
Yeah.
Kalani's face goes. And she's all of us reacting to people. So when a secret comes up, Kalani goes, it's that Chris Pratt meme.
Y'all, because I think at the end of the day, Kalani's a businesswoman.
She is.
She's here for the check.
Yeah.
I don't think that she's here to definitely like help herself and help her family, which good for her.
Yep.
Whereas other people like Julia don't know what the fuck they're doing.
Boy, she really doesn't. She doesn't realize what she says on television stays around. She doesn't.
And I'm like, honey, we saw you audition at that gym. Julia should aspire to be an influencer.
Right.
That's actually kind of what she could start to do.
Well, I don't think she's got enough self-control for that because she'd go off in someone in the comments and say something ridiculous.
So she walks in and she's wearing this yellow dress.
I guarantee you she's anti-vaccine.
Oh, I'm sure.
It's one of those things.
And she says, Brandon, I don't like my dress. And Yara says, oh, you look beautiful. No, you look gorgeous.
Like, it would look great on camera because Yara knows the game.
Like, and Brandon looks, he's like, it's fine. And Yara says, I will kill you, Brandon. And I'm like, this is what
I will kill you.
I'm excited for Yara to throw Julia under the bus. But as of right now, she's supportive. So Julia says, I'm not saying anything this tell-all. I'm keeping my mouth shut. But then she says,
cut to running your mouth.
Yeah, she's like,
don't know anything.
I will say for face. But a lot of people, they don't do this.
I say true her face.
A lot of people, they don't do this.
Has mixed emotions, which is strange because he usually has only one emotion, which is anger. Anger and judgment.
Yeah.
And a little bit of scary violence. That I always get.
Self-righteousness isn't really an emotion, but it's a state of being more. Mm-hmm.
And he's sitting there, y'all. The whole tell-all, Ronald kind of sits there and half smiles. And we're going to talk about them a little bit later. And I was bowled over by what they had to say. So Michael and Michael and Angela, Michael's like, I hope it goes well. And I'm like, have you ever been on a tell-all before with Angela? Like,
Michael, you know it's going to go badly. So they
you
all
know she's going to scream at you and scream at your family.
Yes. Andre and Libby show up and they're all kind of like, wait, where's
Andre's got a suit on, y'all. Ooh.
He does look good. So the producer says it's time to go. They all go and sit and they're like, wait a minute. Where's Angela?
Oh, Angela. Hubbub. How can we do the show without Angela? What about Angela?
And then y'all.
She wanted to make a big reveal.
I'm not going to lie, y'all. Y'all know I love a big entrance.
Yeah.
A big entrance.
Love a makeover.
And she walks in, y'all.
In that pantsuit.
A
high pony that she bought with the Silva Twins extensions.
Yeah. Well, her and Skyla got the duo pair.
Oh, my God.
We're going to talk about that later.
That top pony was actually just stuck on with some glue.
Yeah, didn't even match her head. Didn't even match.
She bought that at the airport.
Yeah, I'm like, but so anyway.
At Wigs and Things.
I could tell. Look, I'm all about doing things for your body. Y'all do what you ever want to do. Y'all, we don't care what Darcy and Stacey look like. They can do whatever. We love them. Angela, she can do whatever.
We know they've had a lot of surgery, and it's the least important thing about them.
Don't get your tits done 2 weeks before you're going to be on national television. These things it actually made me hurt. They look so uncomfortable. And y'all, and the dress Angela's wearing, you can see on the side there's bruising still.
Yeah, it was hard to watch. Like, so it was bruising. And maybe not cover some things up. So you're not showing your surgery bruises.
Or, I just want to say, in the words of Alyssa Edwards, back rolls.
I feel like
y'all, that's someone, a Drag Race reference. Most of you got it, but some of you maybe didn't.
I feel like with the money she has now, she could have had a stylist tell her.
She looks, I don't mind the high pony and all that. I think she looks really good.
The back hanging out wasn't doing her the favors it could have.
It literally was like if HBO came to Poodle and I and said, hey, we want to do a show with y'all about reality TV and we want you to be on in 3 weeks. Poodle and I would run to the plastic surgeon. And then they would show up 3 weeks later and they're like, wait, we hired Matt and Jake. And we're like, yeah, that's us. And they're like, who are you? Angela had ample amount of time to know that the tell-all was coming
up. Supposedly, well, we're going to get into that, but she needed to do it because of Michael. That's what she said. Again, she's really good at blaming him for things like that, we know.
But she could have worn a top that doesn't show her boobs and put like a padded bra on.
I think what I'm trying to say is there's no stylist who they go through things with. For these tell-alls?
No. I don't know.
I guess not.
I wish we knew.
Because Libby and her makeup still looked like crap, so her sister must have done it.
I don't know. They're not going to tell us because y'all, they never email us back. So just emailed them 3 times.
TLC really does not like us.
They don't. Y'all,
I wonder why.
I don't get it. So anyway. Whatever. I don't know what we did. Let's talk about this shit show.
She's lost 106 pounds, though. And she's strutting around, y'all.
She's strutting around.
And the big thing is, Michael says, I just want her to be healthy. And she's like, yeah, he's been making fun of me. So blah, blah, blah. But Michael did agree to the breast implant surgery. That's when he would do. I want to talk about one thing about Tiffany before we start. Because Tiffany did say... something that was huge for me. She said, things have been different since I was in South Africa. I've been alone and I've been a single mom. And he said, he doesn't deserve to be a dad. Doesn't deserve it. So already she's coming in and she's like, I'm not going to let him control the narrative. Already, y'all, she's coming in hot. And
she's finally saying what she's been thinking for 6 months.
Yeah.
Or a year.
But it's interesting. What she says next is weird. We've seen her behave in a way that is, she always has to one up him. But now this is full on straight. I'm going to intimidate him every time he's in a room.
Yeah,
with
it's
me.
It's really horrible on both ends.
It's so unhealthy.
Yeah, very.
It's and I don't know if she could ever see that. Like
her
in
makeup
other words,
looks good.
Oh, she always looks good. Well, there was one thing that, and she's wearing a Tiffany shirt always, and there was a meme that showed all of her cleavage looked the same. There was like her arm cleavage and her boob cleavage.
That's funny.
It was like someone just circled it three. They're like, does no one, a stylist could help this.
Well, now it's brand. It's branding for her.
It is branding
shoulder.
For her.
It's branding. I'm telling you, Shoulders McGee coming to a Kohl's near you. It would sell out.
I agree.
Tiffany.
Butter's got on some.
Yeah.
She comes out churning and yearning, but she's got actually, a Tiffany shirt.
You used to have a blouse like that with those arm cutouts. Remember? That was your Barbara Streisand blouse.
Yes. I loved it.
Yeah. You loved it.
I grew out of it.
Grew out of it. You ended up throwing it on the floor in Cobra and making out with a Latin man.
Never had that. Never missed it. Miss it. So let's
y'all,
so
the
here
tell
we go.
All begins. Let's do the tell all. Yay.
Yay. So basically she's just introducing everybody.
Anybody. I mean, really Mike and Natalie are kind of the ones that are up first. So
and
bravo to Sean Robinson. This is a very, you know, part of like a host interview move that I think Barbara Walters used to do this a lot, where she just goes, so Mike and Natalie. And then she just looks at him for like a minute. And we're all just sitting there.
How are you? If I was where Mike, I'd be like, you watch the show, right?
Yeah, you know. And so finally, she's kind of like, she's asked Mike, you know, what's the status of the relationship? And Mike says, well, there is no relationship right now.
Just on paper.
Maybe on paper.
Natalie finally says, even though she's kind of, she hems and haws for a while, she says, we're not together. So that's it, y'all. Officially, they are not together.
But did she stay in Sequin Poodle?
No, she went to Florida.
She went to Florida.
I'm sure Juliana's just bereft. Or maybe they're together.
Maybe she went with her.
Maybe they're just out on the beach with her headband.
Juliana's wearing a bikini with a headband.
But very Russian style.
Yeah, someone says that.
With a hammer and a sickle.
Yeah, somebody said that headband and hair, they think it's to keep her wigs in place.
Interesting.
I like that strategy. I don't think that's it. I think it's her hair.
So, again, Julia, who promised not to say anything, needs to immediately say, why should she not go back to her country if you're divorced?
Y'all, 5 minutes in, 2 minutes in, she's like, and Mike's like, I don't know where she's in. Where is she? And Andre's like, what's the point of marriage if you aren't living
together?
Of
course. Yeah, it's interesting how... Yara's not saying a word, but a lot of the Eastern Europeans jump right on her.
Right in.
Natalie basically says he doesn't care. He works 2 hours from Seattle. He doesn't have time. He doesn't have any desire. He said, I'm choosing work. So she's kind of said that he's like, I never said that. She's like, well, you did not, but that's what you were, basically that. And this is interesting. We hear from Mike. Says, because of COVID, I lost all my employees, so I'm having to work more.
This actually made me
I know, and I went,
him.
That's probably true.
I think that's very true, and I think Natalie wouldn't understand that at all.
Mm-mm. So
he's saying that he lost his employees, y'all, and he's saying, because Natalie tried to bring it up, like, he works so hard. I understand that. Because he drives 2 hours to his job and 2 hours back. And Natalie's thing was she wanted to move to Seattle, which I'll be honest, if you're living 2 hours away, now I know Seattle's probably way more expensive, but maybe that is a good compromise, or at least maybe like 15 minutes outside of Seattle.
Right.
So Natalie could go do things. Because Natalie brings up, yes, he's working his 60-hour day, but kind of what we said, y'all – she's already, again, one eye blink away, and then you leave her alone in the woods all the time.
In the wood.
She's going crazy.
Let me tell you why he won't move. That house is his, or that ranch is his.
Yeah.
He loves it out there.
Yeah, that's the life he won't.
You will not change, Mike. He has never been changeable.
And I don't think, you know, I sympathize with Mike, but at the same time, if we look back on who's compromised more in this relationship.
Oh, she has.
What has, but like, name one thing Mike has compromised
she's
on.
She's not, I agree with you. She's not really compromised. She's just kicked the can down the road.
That's actually a better description.
She
knows
what she wants. She's just waiting with furtive glances around for the next thing. So she won't be caught by a woodland owl.
That's very true. That's very true.
So she's just waiting. I would agree. I would say that she has not compromised at all. She's just waiting for her next opportunity.
I agree, kick the can. That's a good analogy. Yeah.
The long and the short of it is these two people were never really, really meant for one another. They don't, they're not a good match. They're not a good fit. They have different ways of seeing the world that cannot be reconciled. And it's just not possible. This was never possible.
It was never possible.
Yeah. That it would take too big of a shift, and neither one of them want to make that.
No, they don't. They don't.
So there is there's one part where Natalie says, "I put on 20 pounds. I'm on antidepressants. Antidepressants. And he's like, oh, I get it. And then someone says, I think it's Andre or someone said, why you need to be old name?
Y'all, well, I don't take depressants. I don't take anything that affects me. I just hulk out. Ah!
If you need medication, you're not weak. Or if you want to do what you need to feel better. Consult your doctor, though.
Yes. Don't go on or off medicine without consulting your doctor.
Consult your doctor.
As my psychopharmacology teacher said, think of the medication. It's a cast. The bone heals itself, but the cast helps set the arm so that way the bone heals. That's all what medication is. It just helps set things so your body and your mental state can get back to where it needs to be. That's
it. I've had a cast on for a long time.
You know, when you're raised by Mother Poodle and Father Poodle, you're a lifer. Your lifer, y'all.
Grateful for my meds. Available in the Poodle Home Collection.
It is in the Poodle Home Collection. So
on our merch site.
If you build merch, that goes to a charity. Y'all, by the way, we just got busy with stuff. We're not doing a charity this month for the month of August.
Yeah.
We're just taking we appreciate y'all been donating so much. So we're taking a month off. And then once we get into...
we got behind. Yeah.
For September, we'll be doing something then. So stay tuned.
Some of you have asked about that. And we're like... Oh shit! We've had some. Usually in our Facebook group, there's an order to things, and some people have had like things that they've had to go in and out of. So
I mean, we haven't even finished. I haven't even watched the last two episodes of Love Is Blind. That's where our love is.
I haven't either.
Which was riveting. The first episode was so good. So y'all, we're getting there. Anyway,
that's like so they are. Joby's saying things like,
because you brought up Andre. Andre says, I don't think Mike is a problem. He's like, he wants to eat steak and have a couple of beers. And like, that's it. And Mike is working all these hours. And that's where, anyway, that's kind of what Andre's saying. And Natalie is just like, that's where she says, I begged for him to come to Seattle. And Angela said, well, ironically, the person in all this who kind of came in the most non-judgmental opinion was Angela.
Shockingly. Y'all, she behaves extremely well into her segment. She's not getting involved in other people's drama.
She said,
this time,
I just see you on social media. She said, and I can't speak and I don't know where your head's at, but it seems like on social media you're single. Doesn't seem like you're with. And I went, that's a really accurate point, and I never thought about
and
that.
And you didn't shout at someone.
No.
So then Jovi says, who was the guy you were with in New Orleans? And Kalani goes, oh! Again, Kalani, I need a supercut of all Kalani's reactions during this part one.
She just wanted to be like, burn!
Or he's like, she's like Kelly from the single all tell single life tell all.
Yes. Oh yes, 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 yes.
So
or like Greg from the F Boy Island mansplaining up, where he would be like, "Oh, bro,
the mansplain."
So y'all, we find out that Natalie met Yara and Jovi
in New Orleans because she wanted to meet Yara, obviously, but because Yara's Ukrainian.
Big mistake, huge,
huge, big huge mistake.
Yara will take you out. So she meets him, but she brings a friend. And she says, and then Natalie says, Mike's like, I didn't know you had a friend. And Natalie said, well, how did you know he's not gay?
Now,
which has nothing to do with any, y'all, this person's not gay.
And she's kind of smirking.
It was kind of insulting when she said it to me, honestly.
Whenever she's caught out, she's kind of like, it's like she's Flower and Bambi. Like
someone else I know.
When I'm caught out, I do that. I'm like,
you do.
I'm like, if I just sit here and look pretty, no one will come at me.
No one will come at me. Not true. So
yeah. And did you notice? She's like, no, I did. I found someone in the Russian community, and we went out. We decided to meet because I did not want to go alone. Which is weird because why wouldn't you?
Why it's Mike and. It's
Jovi and Yara.
Maybe that's a cultural thing.
Maybe.
That we don't let, like, if you're Ukrainian, you just don't go out. I don't know. But
you don't want to go out with a couple?
Come at us, Ukrainian sissies. Let us know. But yes, Natalie says it's not romantic at all. And Yara said, I asked if they were together. And then Yara, it's so great when she's like, I asked if they were together, but there was no clear answer. And Natalie, the way she goes, ha ha ho ho, a home. And I went, that's exactly what Natalie does.
Y'all. And then Tiffany's like, bitch, you got to admit, this looks bad. Yes,
you know it looks bad. And Natalie says, what do I say? I'm alone. I'm sleeping alone.
She's like, and I went to therapy. And I did 3 weeks of therapy. I should be better. Where's Tamara?
Nice. I'm in a spinning chair. We were both able to spin around.
Oh. So we find out, this is the big deal. Julia, of course, jumps in. She's this little gargoyle who wants to go. She's like, who pay for it? Who pays for all of this?
You look face up too. You look face up too.
And Natalie just smiles, and it's absolutely chilling.
It's chilling because she says, who pays for you to live? And we find out, Mike says,
she has my bank card.
You know the answer. You know the answer. You say it. You say it.
It's almost like he still wants to be the good. He still assumes he's the good guy if he doesn't say it. It's so gross.
It's not the good guy. It's the martyr. I think it's more the heel. Because he says after this, he said, I'm deactivating my car.
He plans to file for divorce.
And Natalie goes, what do you want him to say?
Do you know what? Then she says this. If you can find a better woman than me, Michael, I will pray for it.
I will pray for you.
Gross. God, so awful.
This really tell-all did not make her look good at all. And they even take a break, and the producer says, do you think there's a chance of reconciliation? And I expected Mike to be like, no way. And Mike goes, I don't know. I mean, maybe down the road. And I went, wow, she must be really freaky deaky in bed that you still want to be with her. I don't know any other reason.
But think what she just said.
I know.
Really,
that's what,
really think about how awful that is, you guys.
But the fact that Mike still wants
I totally agree. I think this is a deep psychological abusive thing to say. If you can find another woman better than me.
Oh, yeah.
I pray for it.
Because what she's saying is not that I'm a good woman. She's saying you're a piece of shit and you're not going to find someone.
And she'd never say that. But it's coming off like, and I believe her saying things like that makes someone like Mike think there's a chance.
Yeah.
Because that sounds like a nice thing. It sounds like she's wishing him well, but it's the opposite.
And we know we're from the South. Oh, okay. I'm gonna pray for you. Yeah, pray for you. That works out for you.
When you leave your husband, it's like it's a very April on Me, You, and My Ex kind of thing. Where
I love Roy. He's my best friend. Roy, I pray every night you can find a woman better than me.
I pray, Roy.
But you know, and I still want you as my best friend.
Best friend.
Can we get matching tattoos and live in the same house?
Roy? I know you served your country and gave up everything and I ended up cheating on you, but can you come to my wedding?
Can you come to my wedding? I really want you in my wedding, please. Roy. I want you to see me get married with the man who was across the street, and I wanted you to see his wife be my maid of honor.
Yeah. His ex-wife. Could you film our OnlyFans too, Roy? Just really get him going in and out. Thank you.
That's what it reminds me of. It's absolutely diabolical.
Natalie is crying in the green room, and she says, I'm a good person. I'm tired of fighting. You file for divorce, and Mike says he's going to file, and Julia says, she will go back to Ukraine. Mike, you nice guy. You need a girl.
A woman to cook meat.
Who cooks meat for you and serves you beer.
The thing is, I doubt Julia cooks meat for Brandon and serves him beer.
No.
It's so weird. She's seen too many Jerry Springer episodes that she needs to be the little, you know, Jabba the Hutt's little friend.
All right.
Natalie does say, by the way, If he files for divorce, there's no way I can stay in this country. And we know she does not want to go back to the Ukraine.
Yeah.
To Ukraine, sorry. Not the Ukraine.
Yeah, there you go. All right.
Mike's rubbing Angela's feet.
It's Angela's eating chips. And on that note, we're going to take a break and we'll be right back.
Sibling fights are unavoidable. But what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Poodle, I gotta tell you, I think I just made one of the best investments for myself.
Oh, thank God. You got rid of those braces and decided to sew your mouth completely shut. Perfect.
No. The doctor just added 4 more months.
Oh, I think he's trolling me at this point.
No. See, now that I'm putting myself out there...
No one wants to hear about your dating life.
But you talk about yours all the time.
Because mine is interesting.
Well, I wanted to let you know that I took a page from your book and it worked.
Ooh, you slept with their ex to make them jealous?
No.
You pulled their credit report?
What?
Made a copy of their keys while they were sleeping?
How are you not in jail?
Deny, deny, deny.
No, Poodle. I decided to get myself a pair of Me Undies great new underwear, which makes my important parts look more junk forward.
Junk forward? Wait, are you talking about the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies?
Yes, the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies.
I love the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies. There's no other way to date in this world. If you're not dating junk forward, you're doing it wrong.
I think you're right. And you never told me that they're so comfortable.
Well, usually I'm not wearing them that long. But yes, they are so soft. And the more you wash them, the softer they get. And they still keep you tucked and lifted in all the right places. When I wear them, I can barely keep men away from me. Oh, the way they stare. They look like burly, hungry cavemen searching for a nice meal after a long caveman day of nomadically crossing the tundra. To them, I'm like a piece of meat roasting over an open, smoky flame.
Speaking of smoking, not only does my junk look great in MeUndies, but my butt looks hot.
Okay, no one wants to hear your over-sexualized descriptions. Have some class.
Sissies,
We've fallen in love with MeUndies, and you can too. They have a style for everyone. From all black classics to fun expressive prints, MeUndies has a look for everyone. Plus, they come in sizes extra small to 4XL, guaranteeing a flattering cut for everybody.
And MeUndies isn't just about underwear. Explore the lounge collection featuring joggers, hoodies, onesies, and more. With unmatched comfort, MeUndies' signature fabric is as soft as a warm hug from your favorite sweater. It's breathable, stretchy, and oh so comfy, making it ideal for all-day wear.
And they use sustainably sourced materials and work with partners that care for their workers.
And you know Mother Poodle loves a return policy. Not happy with the first pair of MeUndies? It's on MeUndies. Cough!
Sissies, good things come in big packages at MeUndies. Get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/realitygaze.
That's MeUndies.com/realitygaze for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in.
To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies.
Oh my God, Poodle, I can't stop singing that song either. It's so catchy.
So catchy. Sissies, we are obsessed with the Songfinch original song that we premiered at the Toronto Live Show. Songfinch lets you create an original radio quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever.
For example, we wanted to create a song dedicated to our Canadian listeners, some of which have waited 4 to 5 years to see us live. After the show, we had so many people tell us how special the song made them feel, and we are still getting DMs and comments about it.
And the Songfinch songwriter was so clever, incorporating all our sissy references like Aunt Peggy's Lip, Elizabeth Smart, and even Keep Going Queens.
Yes. Songfinch walks you through a simple process to create your original song. Just tell them who the song is for, what style of song you want, and then share some personal details about your relationship. Then an actual Songfinch musician of your choice will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days.
You can also choose unique add-ons to make the gift even more personalized, like a vinyl record of your song or a piece of one-of-a-kind art made from your lyrics. You can even add your song to Spotify. With more than 350,000 happy customers, Songfinch is proud to be called the number one custom music company in the world.
Whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, an upcoming graduation or a wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist.
And for a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gifted to can listen to it anywhere, anytime.
Go to songfinch.com/realitygaze and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value.
Again, our URL is songfinch.com/realitygaze. Don't forget to share your song with us, too.
Songfinch.com/realitygaze. Now, Gary, play us out with a little bit of our Songfinch original song to all our queens.
Love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Hey, hey, our Canadian listeners. We know you get tired of waiting. Reality Gaze is coming to you. So no more complaining.
To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies. Love yourself, never be ashamed.
To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies. Love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Have hope. Keep going, queens.
Ronald.
We do have some Scottish sissies, and they're pretty appalled by you using their accent.
That's my South African accent. It's fine.
Almost as much as the Irish sissies are appalled when I do it, and I get really nasty DMs. I stopped.
They're gonna read us on 90 Day UK, y'all. When we start covering that, it's gonna be bad. It's gonna be real, real bad.
I don't know. We're two clowns. We're remember that we're two commedia dell'arte characters.
Wow, that just. That put me to sleep, and I know what it means.
I love Commedia dell'arte.
I do too, but only one sissy went, oh my
my God.
More than that, we could talk about Pierrot and Colombina. I'm seeing Pierrot Lunaire tonight by Schoenberg.
We don't have time for this because Tiffany and Ronald apparently got back kind of together whenever we left. Y'all, when we left them, they had this huge fight. And she was sitting at that restaurant table.
But then he talked to me about his feelings.
And she was packing herself. And then, so y'all, she didn't move out. She actually stayed. In fact, she stayed for 4 months. I do think that's a little bit of storytelling faux pas and that they built up this story. Are you going to stay for Christmas? Are you going to stay for Christmas? And then we don't see that she stayed for Christmas. That's kind of
Immediately felt, you had your daughter and your son down there for another 4 months.
And so
what the fuck? You already know you're not in a good place. You're bringing, I get it that Carly is Ronald's daughter, but Daniel,
Ronald says my relationship is a lot like Angela and Michael's. Kind of the way Michael is, I'm always wrong.
And Tiffany, she's the boss.
I'm surprised Angela just sat there. Angela didn't respond to that at all. I was shocked.
Didn't take the bait.
Not at all. He said,
I don't think that that's up for debate. I think that both Angela and Michael would agree that that's the case.
And so Ronald says, the problem is the woman can't take the will of the man. And that's, I appreciate that she's a strong woman, but the woman can't take the will of the man. And that's what she does.
I'm surprised. And Tiffany's up there rolling her eyes like they are bowling balls.
I mean, what we're seeing, y'all, is that, I mean, we know, spoiler alert, at least we know from social media.
Supposedly they are absolutely done now.
That was like 3 weeks ago. But we're seeing here, y'all, Tiffany is done. Done.
I'm surprised when he said that, we didn't get pushback from Sean to talk a little bit about that, because it's something that when we hear things like that, Sean would say, is that it, Tiffany? Or because it's a subject that we like to talk about on tell-alls. And Tiffany says, I'm raising the kids alone. And then Yara interestingly says, and there's truth to this. Yara says, you don't let him do things. You don't let him take the initiative. You're either coming in and saying he's doing it wrong, or Tiffany would come back and say, I tell him what to do. I'm setting all these expectations
I think she would say, well, he doesn't do it right.
Right.
He's not going to do it the way it needs to be done. Da da da. But Yara says, I get your independent energy. I feel it, but I don't think you need to show him that all the time.
Yeah, and she said, you don't need to. What did she say? You don't need to smash down on him.
Let him do stuff.
Yeah,
and I do, y'all. That's part of being like a leader, or when you're in a relationship, you've got to let people mess up and fall and learn on their own. You just have to.
And she, as soon as he does something, she shames and belittles him for it so much that how is he supposed to feel good about himself?
Some people feel like, you know, when people are like, oh, I feel like you're Team Ronald. I'm like, we're not we're team Daniel.
I'm terrified of Ronald. I think he's a scary, scary, violent person.
I'm terrified of Ronald, but I'm not Team Tiffany.
No, me either.
I think Tiffany has put her children.
I'm none of these people's teams.
Again, I'm Team Daniel. I think she's put.
Yeah, Daniel and Carly.
She's put her kids in a really terrible situation.
And she stayed there for 4 months after, and you know they fought in front of the kids. Oh. You know they had to
ridiculous. The damage that's been done to Daniel about relationships in this, I bet you it's been a lot.
So, Ronald. Do you notice that Ronald says something, and he's like, I suggest you watch yourself. She rolls her eyes.
Well, Sean says, do you want him to come here? And Tiffany says, I do want him here. And Ronald says, bullshit.
Yeah.
And that's when Tiffany says, watch yourself. And then he says, you don't scare me. And I went, these people hate one another.
Yeah, they really do.
There's no love here at all.
It's now devolved into absolute just acrimony. They yes,
and Ronald says every time she comes back, goes back, she takes a piece of me with her.
How beautiful. You take a piece of me with you every time you go over her. So then, and everyone's just watching. Remember that clip that they showed with Ronald and the car, and they zoom in on everyone's face, and it looks like everyone's watching Faces of Death, y'all.
They even everyone's like, the clip, y'all. Angela has seen some shit in her life,
and even Angela's like, oh my god, shit. I just changed a man's diaper. Just a minute ago.
Angela works in hospice care and she's still a shock.
She's like, oh my God.
And Ronald says, I do admit that I treat her wrong. I treat her wrong.
And y'all, she screams. They're still jawing with her. And she screams, bitch, you will not talk to me like that. On national television.
She does. And
where her children can see it. And her daughter will one day see her speak to their father that way.
Oh yeah, because she's basically saying
on television,
your uncle even sided with me in the therapy. Everything I brought up, because that's what Tiffany brings up. She says, and that's what Tiffany, kind of what Yara was speaking to. Tiffany says the things I'm asking him to do are normal things. They are normal things, Tiffany. They 100% are.
Ronald is an addict. He's a recovering addict.
He's not.
He says he's cured, but
he's not a quote unquote normal person of what you think normal is.
Right.
And he's not going to assume those roles.
Her expectations for him will never be met because they never could be.
They
never
could
be. Because they're not real. They're not for a real person. You know what they are? They're the expectations she puts on herself. And she always lets herself down.
It's not that Ronald's failing. She
is.
Ronald doesn't succeed. She believes she failed.
Yep. But I'm saying she thinks of herself also as a failure.
Yeah, that's what
she's projecting.
That's what I'm just saying. She's projecting that on Ronald. Yeah. And it's all just about her own feelings of anxiety and failure.
No, I'm saying she's projecting on him.
Oh, God.
Y'all ever scream when one of us says something and the other says the exact
all the time.
Same thing?
I want a Whopper and a Coke Icy. Doesn't that sound
I
good?
Hate you.
That sounds delicious. So anyway, y'all, Sean, Tiffany, they're talking about the therapy and all that. And Ronald, he says, don't call me a bitch. And then that's when Ronald says, what about when I came walking back in and you were sitting there with a bottle of Bacardi because you were talking to the cameraman.
And then I went, oh, that makes sense of why. And at that point, Tiffany, this is when it goes from reality to now my tactic is now to make fun of him. She's like, I can't believe you're talking about this. And that infuriates Ronald even more,
Ronald's
you guys.
Like, I will make this shit known. You were wrong that day. Do you think Tiffany did anything with the cameraman?
No.
I don't think so either.
This is Ronald. This is Ronald projecting his own
your
insecurities.
Your wife pays attention to a cameraman more than you. And I went, yeah, because maybe the cameraman isn't yelling at her, calling her a fucking bitch.
Yeah.
Maybe I think I would too.
The idea that... that a cameraman over here is going to get involved with someone like with the cameraman has seen firsthand of what Tiffany does to men.
Like, if this cameraman is fucking Tiffany, then he needs to process that.
Doesn't matter if they're just fucking. Can you imagine? She's going to critique his sex technique.
Yeah, exactly.
You need to hit. You need to. Okay.
She's going
to
start telling him camera angles when he's filming her. Not going to go good.
Oh my God, that was and then went in her tact and y'all. Ronald's a ridiculous person. He's terribly misogynistic. We know that.
Horribly unrealistic.
But. There's not a worse way to deal with a person like this than the way Tiffany is dealing with him.
Yep, we've said it before.
It's so awful.
She literally is the worst thing for him.
So Maggie, moms come in, Battle of the Moms, Maggie and Rhea.
Rhea.
And Rhea's like, I love
Sean
Tiffany.
Sean says, do you think they're a good match?
And she's like, yes, Tiffany's like my child. And you're part of us.
And if they were divorced, it would be like her losing a child. Tiffany starts crying. And Rhea says, if I was there, I wish I could give you a hug.
Yeah.
And y'all, we kind of see how Rhea has babied her son and never given him accountability.
Yeah.
Because if you notice, like, Tiffany's mom, Maggie full on says, they've both done wrong things in this relationship.
Oh, we see who their female role models are.
Exactly. We see, and y'all, and Ronald, you said this before, Ronald walks all over his mother, and she bends over backwards and just accommodates. She has never
wipes his butt the entire adult life.
She has never set a boundary for that man, mm-mm. And that is the worst type of man for Tiffany to be with.
Yep. So Maggie says, neither one of them is perfect, but Ronald expects too much without giving enough.
And I'm tired of seeing my daughter suffer.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sean asked the question that we've all known, but once she said, if you still had kids, would you be in this
you
marriage?
Didn't have kids.
Yeah, if you didn't have kids. And Tiffany says, no.
Yep. Oh, y'all, if you're in your marriage with staying for your kids, and I know there are economic things why people can't leave a marriage, but trust me, your kids know, and they're being affected by it.
Oh, for sure.
They're being affected by you. I mean, you stayed, how long did how long did your parents stay in a marriage where you knew something was wrong?
Probably like 5 years.
Oh, was it that long?
No, that's not long at all. People stay in marriages for 10, 15 years.
Right.
They realize when their kids are 6 years old that
they're
not.
What did it do for you?
I think it's more about, well, luckily, my parents they did some stuff in front of us when they fought, but for the most part, honestly, they were pretty, in their own ways, there was much healthier with their boundaries and healthier with they weren't on TV as well. So, but for me, though, it's just my brother and I both agreed, it's going to hurt the kids to get divorced. They're going to go through pain, but pain is healed by joy.
Right.
So kids are going to go through pain, but then they're going to have the joy of seeing their parents, hopefully, happy
again,
well-adjusted, either with someone else happy or on their own happy, and that will heal that pain.
Did that happen for you?
In a way, yeah. No, it did. It did. Because my father, when my parents got divorced, my father became a better father. He had to make more of an effort to be a dad to me. So I was already close to my mom, but I wasn't super close with my dad. So when my parents got divorced, my dad and I bonded way more. So I just think it's better to rip the Band-Aid because the wound is just festering and festering when you do that.
What we're saying is if you think that your kids don't know something's up or they can't feel the kind of tentativeness and they can't feel a distance, they can't sense it, you're kidding yourself.
Yeah, because what would you imagine that your kid is in their 20s and they're going through this? What would you want your kid to do?
Yeah.
I would hope you would say, I'd want to do for them to be happy. If you say, well, they should stay together for the kids, then I think you should process that and why.
Yeah, because that means if you stay together for the kids, that means that no one's happy. No one can really move on because we're both stuck in this situation that's going nowhere.
It's I don't think it's all different for everybody. Because then people get remarried and then there's stepkids and all that. And that's a whole different thing. So I'm not saying it's an easy road, but y'all, life and relationships aren't easy.
But yeah, what I would say is if you're having trouble in your marriage or something like that, and you're not active, you can't get your partner to go to counseling, or you're not in counseling yourself or something like that, and you're saying, I'll just stay in it for my kids, you're doing yourself and your kids a huge disservice.
Yeah. So Oh, Tiffany. So
I wonder if do you think she's talking to somebody? Like, I wonder if she
Tiffany, even more than Ronald, to me, Tiffany seems like the type that wouldn't do therapy.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you.
Again, Tiffany and Ronald are... Tiffany's not an addict to like a something, but she is addicted to the anxiety.
Yeah.
She's addicted to that feeling of always trying to catch up. And it's, if that went away or if she really looked at why she had to have that, that would take a lot of work for her. So, and she doesn't do well with, she doesn't do well with other people telling her what to do. So
did you notice? So there was a thing at the end where she says, I love him. I do love him. And he says, I'm sorry, love. And then Sean, sometimes Sean tries to put a button on things. And I'm like, no, that's not what just happened. But she said, seems to be a lot of love here. And I went,
yeah,
where are you looking?
No, I don't.
Did someone feed that through your ear, Sean?
Probably. I just wrote, and then the cycle continues.
Yeah.
Because we literally, y'all, we saw them. They started off, Ronald was saying, I did wrong. I'm going to be better. Mm-hmm. That's literally what he said in the first of the segment. Then he got angry. Then he demonized her.
Yeah.
Then he blamed her. Then he lashed out for her. Then he was angry at her. And now she calms down and he says, I'm sorry. I love you. That literally was just a cycle of abuse. And it's with this whole situation, I just need them not to be together.
I want to add them to the list of couples I never want to see on television again. We were kind of excited about them. We were kind of excited to see them.
You know what? I don't mind seeing them on television because but why I don't, because I know through counseling other couples and just from knowing, I feel like their story is one of the stories that a lot of people can probably
most relate common.
To the most. Where Mike and Natalie, you're like, what the fuck are these two cartoon characters doing?
Yeah.
These really do seem like real people with real problems.
I understand what you're saying. I think they're both extreme versions of real people.
Yeah. Which is sometimes what we need to see. Like, I think for Tiffany, not going to therapy would be a good option, maybe. But I think a group support group. I think Tiffany, because
she
Tiffany
would maybe do something
see
like
herself
that.
And other women.
I'm saying I don't want to see them berate and talk to one another the way they've done this season. Life is too short to watch people going at it like that anymore. Unless it's Andre and Charlie, and then I would ask for more of it.
For different reasons.
For different, completely.
Let's talk about Brandon and Julia, shall
Brandon
we?
Brandon and Julia, they basically say, Sean says, how's it living in your new apartment? And they're like,
she asked Brandon.
Yeah. He's like, it's the same without living. It's the same, but my parents aren't there.
But he asked Brandon, but Julia immediately jumps in. Amazing.
What? She's like, what do you mean? And they talk about their sex life because they can have sex wherever. And y'all, Julia is freaky deaky. So she loves to get on.
She's like, I'm worried that everyone, they hear everything, you know, because I bark like dog. And we don't have
arf,
a dog.
Arf.
Because my dog Simba's at home. I miss him, but I bark like him.
So much. Oh, I miss him so much.
I had a moment. They just, Andre.
I went somewhere else as well.
Andre looks at Libby and he's like, remember our old apartment? And then he goes, oh my gosh. Y'all, they were
where
fucking.
She made
they were
noises.
All over Paces Crossing and everyone heard it. Everyone heard it.
Even Sandy in the office heard it.
Yes.
With a bad haircut.
Oh God. Oh.
She's just trying to make ends meet. Doesn't get child support as much as she used to.
She teases her hair every morning.
If you have that person in your apartment complex office who you find out way too much about her life because she tells you that was Sandy at Paces Crossing.
Oh, we had it was what was her name? Rita. at Flower Mound Apartments. And, you know, you want to be friends with them, y'all, because when you're in college, sometimes your rent's a couple of days late.
You need to be friends with your... I would always bring them stuff. I would always bring them donuts, or I would bring them... or also sometimes if you wanted to have a party and people would complain, they won't try to kick you out.
Yeah. Or the police show up to get one of your boyfriends.
If there's an altercation in the night where his wife shows up.
Poodle's gotta have friends in low places.
And you're decide to go skinny dipping at 3 a.m. after being too drunk.
Mm-hmm.
None of this happened.
Yeah.
And Sandy seen some shit. Oh,
you climbed over the pool gate that was shut and locked.
I could scale that thing 3 sheets to the wind.
Wow. And you have. And you have.
Oh, wow. God. I was so, so messy.
I know. I know. What do you mean? And what do you mean was? Yeah.
Oh, my God. I was so messy in my 20s, though. Jesus Christ.
In your 30s.
And last week.
Yeah, just saw it all. So Brandon and Julia, so they're, Brandon says, the city's been tough. I'm not one for the city. I like to help up my dad. And Julia says, you know, we have, y'all, there's not much here. But then she's like, we have Simba, but we tried to bring
child.
Him out. Our child, but we couldn't. She's like, I love him so much. I love him.
You go out to the bathroom, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 2 o'clock. 3 o'clock. Maybe you're not ready for a baby.
Maybe, agreed. It's interesting with Julia. She doesn't get that she's on TV.
No.
She doesn't get it because she starts talking about these random things, and I'm like, this has nothing to do. Like, I'm sure
producers
give her talking points, and then there's the producers behind the camera just going, Rachel, I'm sorry. I did not tell her to talk about the dog poop schedule, Rachel. I'm so sorry.
I don't think she'll be asked back. I just don't see it. She's not reliable.
Yeah.
She's also says stuff that is just out of the frame of what their listeners might agree with. And she has opinions that don't really, I mean, that's basically why they stopped giving Pow a platform.
Apparently they're saying they broke up now on Instagram.
They're saying they are taking a break in their marriage. Chew on that one, everybody. It's like, what is it? Who was consciously uncoupled? Was that
Gwyneth
Paltrow?
Yeah.
You know, when they said that, they had no self-reflection at all. Like, we're gonna say consciously uncoupled.
And they're still divorced now, right?
Yeah.
Who's she fucking now?
Brad Falchuk. They're married.
Who's Brad Falchuk? Why do I know that?
Creator of American Horror Story and one of the producers of Glee.
Oh.
With Ryan Murphy. Oh, that's he's on the Ryan Murphy train. She's fine. How come she's
never been in
one
of
the lifestyle where she's accustomed to? She was on Glee.
Oh yeah, she was. Forgot mm-hmm. about that.
I think that's obviously where they met.
Clearly.
He's cute. Her husband's cute.
I like Gwyneth Paltrow. She seems fun.
Shut up. You know not to get me.
No, she seems like a good person. She's a smart woman.
You know not to go down this road. You're baiting me, and I'm not taking the bait, y'all.
No, she does a lot of charity work, and Goop is a really cool idea. I think that's a cool thing. I love the name. So anyway, y'all. So Brandon,
I'm not going to respond. I can hear most of our listeners. They're going to come read you for filth. So you need to tell everyone that you're baiting me.
No, I'm not at all. Yeah, I'm not baiting you at all,
y'all. He's baiting me. So I refuse to go here because it'll be a rant. Come at him and tell him how ridiculous she is.
You can't help it.
Entitled White Women, she is the patron saint. They're talking about Simba, and they're like, who do you love, Simba more or Brandon? Just playing. And she's like, oh, it's like pizza and burger. I cannot choose.
And I agree.
I understand that.
So Sean says,
Mike's like, pizza burger.
And Sean says, yeah, Mike's like, oh yeah. Down at Lemley's Pizza, down in my friend Dee Dee Rivette owns a pizza parlor down in Sequim. It's great.
We'll have to have her on to talk about that restaurant. I'm sure.
Yeah, she'll have to find her wig and come on the show. So
she doesn't wear a wig. How dare you?
So y'all, they basically. So Sean's like, "Do you still want to have a baby?" And Julie's like, I do, but I want to talk about the future." And Brandon's like, "But I don't know why she needs to talk about kids in front of y'all." Yeah. Again, y'all, they're just rehashing the same bits. She's get like, a little bit.
I be holding condoms. She's like, "Kidding, we don't use condoms.
We don't use condom." And the producers are just going, "What the fuck is happening?"
I know. And someone just said, pterodactyl, Sean. But keep moving.
I will say, I don't think Brandon's fully happy. I just
No, he's not.
I think he got into way more than he thought. And I think Brandon said,
living with her is a nightmare.
He said, it's hard to live with. And he talks about this jealous side, which we didn't see a lot of this season.
Every time there were other people around besides his parents.
But I think we just see like tip of the iceberg with that.
I'm sure it's terrible.
I bet she's insane regarding jealousy.
She said
worse than Brittany from Lalu.
Oh God!
And she gets jealous.
Who? Which Brittany? I'm sorry.
Brittany with Brittany and Ray, the new couple.
Oh.
You can tell. We haven't seen it yet, but y'all, but I'm telling you now, Brittany's going to freak out on Ray.
Or jealous like Heather of Grandma Diane. That's
true. Y'all, which that, Love After Lockup, the season finale is next week. So
this has been a really quick season.
It's been very quick.
But they are going right into Life After Lockup. Don't worry. We got Christiana and John.
Oh, it's going to be great.
And Demon's Godder is back with a glow up.
But so if you want to jump into that on our Patreon or Supercast, in 2 weeks you could start fresh on a new kind of series.
Yeah. Life After Lockup. Yeah. And Brittany and Marcelino are coming back.
Yeah.
But then it's the new couples. Deontay, yeah. Nicole,
Lisa and Stan.
Lisa and Stan and Tia, apparently.
Yes. Nicole, Deontay, and Tia, who has face tattoos. Oh, you haven't watched yet. Oh my God.
No, I saw a clip though.
Didn't expect
Tia. Was not what I was expecting.
Tia is going to be Hillary Swank's next role in a movie. That's how hardcore of a lesbian she is. Y'all. And you know, for Hillary Swank to play them, they've got to be rough. Because that's the role she goes for.
They're talking about the jealousy that he has anytime, and he says she's jealous anytime that she doesn't have me all to herself. And y'all, that's really bad. And she said, it's always been that way. Ask any boyfriends. And then we find out she's been cheated on by everyone.
Every single boyfriend. And I wonder, not that she deserved that, but y'all, again, when you were this jealous and you keep putting that into a relationship.
Right. You may you're putting invite this it. Into,
you invite it. You put it. Poodle and I have listened, y'all. We said like a month, 2 months ago, we said, what's going to happen? All these shows are ending. We're going to have nothing to podcast about. And the universe said, hold my beer, bitch.
And then just jizzed on us. And I was like,
It was so much. Poodle even shut his mouth. He was like,
But I was like, no more semen, no more. Please.
So I'm just saying, be careful what you say and put into existence. Because
universe, no more jizz.
Yeah, no more jizz, universe. So Julia says, she's like, my jealousy, it won't change. And then Andre really says, that's confidence. You need to be more confident.
Yeah.
And
it's hard to tell someone to be more confident, but Andre should never be a therapist, now, y'all.
Sean, already the producer said, ask Yara. Mm-hmm. And so Sean's like, Yara, what do you think about Julia's jealousy? And Yara was nice. She's like, you have no reason to be jealous. They live on farm. I don't get it. It's not like, not like you're dating Hollywood superstar.
And everyone kind of went.
And Sean said, I don't know if that was a compliment or a diss.
And Brandon didn't get it. Brandon's
didn't
like,
get it.
What?
Huh? What? Yara.
She's the joy of every tell all. Oh,
she is.
She killed her tell all. So y'all, of course, because they were such a big part of their season, we have Betty and Ron.
Hey everybody. We're back from the farm. We're gonna talk about really happy things. Oh wait, just kidding. I have a disease. Y'all, this got sad. Real quick.
And so they basically say, I'm happy. She's like, I'm happy that they're having a good time. We'd like them to move close to the farm. I don't know if they want to be moving into the farm, but
they're only 30 minutes away from the farm, y'all.
Betty brings up that there's a house close to us, and Brandon Mealy, oh, the house right there on the right? He knows.
He knows, because he's
been
looking
at it. And Julie's like, what? What?
No, Brandon, no, we can't, Brandon.
And then mom says, we'd help with the down payment.
And Sean says, wait, is this conditional? Would you help with the down payment for any house
and she
or
goes,
just for the house beside you?
Like the Grinch. She goes, that's our offer.
That's our offer. Y'all, that's shitty. That's shitty.
That's shitty.
That's
it's
really
very shitty
for somebody who works in fucking pest control, which is a hard job that doesn't pay a lot to say this to
y'all,
him.
Y'all, this is not a move out of the ordinary for parents. This is not a move for their parents or for other people's parents.
I know other parents
who are like that.
It's
that
really horrible.
Their money comes with conditions.
Y'all, it's not, I'm sorry, and maybe some people don't agree with it, but it's not a child's job to take care of their parents or their parents' choices. And, you know, and I know this specifically. My dad's thinking I'm going to move back to Oklahoma.
And
to
people
take
are
care
going,
of it. And I'm like,
wait,
I'm
what did you just do the last year?
Exactly. You know, and I really had to convince my dad, hey, Dad, I'm not moving back here. Like, yeah. I have a life in him. And
my father still thinks I may move back.
Yeah, my mom does it. I think both of our moms get like...
They get it.
They're like, my mom would even say like, you've got to get back to LA eventually.
Well,
and I'm like...
No, my father's people and generation, no one... You may move away for a little bit, but you always come back.
Yeah. So it's...
You have to die on the land you're born.
And for Betty and Ron, it's just... They're so clueless to... It's weird because when they lived there, Brandon did act. I said, he doesn't want to live on the farm because that's the way he acted. He said, I don't want to have a farm life. He said that on the first season when we first met them.
Well, I think, but that was just escapism talking. And as soon as he thought farm life was his parents, doting parents all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then he realized without them,
he's got to have food. He's got to pay bills.
Yes,
he's
but
be
even
an adult.
More so, he doesn't have two people who he is always their golden boy.
Yeah.
Because always in his corner.
Julie because, loves him, but she doesn't let him slide with shit.
And because when he was at the farm, he always had two allies with Julia.
Yeah.
And so, in a way, he had control.
Wait.
When he's with Julia, he doesn't.
Is it almost like is... Is Brandon a young Mike?
No, nothing like that. But maybe he becomes Mike.
But maybe he becomes Mike.
Hmm. Interesting.
Butter.
Betty and Butter will
never.
Yeah.
Not the same.
Yeah.
Y'all, so we find out that Ron, we don't know. They keep saying Ron has a sickness. It sounds like cancer.
He's doing better. We're doing treatments. It sounds like something that is, he doesn't have the flu, you know.
And he doesn't want to talk about it.
COVID. So it's something that is.
Brandon completely shuts down when this happens.
Yeah.
He's just like
this
really
was
going in.
Hard to watch.
It was. He's trying not to cry. He's very quiet. He's upset.
And you also know that Julia does not have the emotional room to actually help him with this.
I noticed that, like, I wanted Julia to kind of reach over and, like, rub his back.
Doesn't have it.
I mean, he later on had his hand on her, like, lap, holding her hand.
Yeah. She's 28 years old, you guys, and she ain't that deep.
No, and Sean says, how does your dad being his sickness factor into this? And Brandon says, you know, it's difficult to talk about. There's issues he doesn't want to get into. And he just kind of says, I don't want to be talk about it. And Sean says, well, is that why you want to live closer? And Brandon says, the farm is a lot to take care of.
Right. And Julia says something like...
Julia says the most this is stupid not going to happen. Comment. She said, I don't want to give this attention, so it won't happen. And that is the most young ostrich stick your head in the stand right. type of attitude to have.
And Ron's like, the most important thing is family. And family, family echoes in Brandon's head.
Oh, home, way old, they fly, where the moments fly.
We couldn't hear it.
I don't know what just happened.
That was Come Home from Rodgers and Hammerstein's Allegro.
Yeah, no one knew that or cares
it's a
about that.
Beautiful second act
sure.
ballad sung sure. by the dead mother.
Wonderful. Really uplifting.
Talking about coming home back to where Joe, the heroine, grew up. It was a bomb. Sorry. That was the third musical.
Didn't go good.
After Oklahoma and Carousel.
Didn't go good, y'all.
It didn't go good.
It didn't go good. So that's kind of Sean says, well, we are wishing him the very best.
And y'all, earlier we said.
We lied.
We're going to try to do this in one show.
We lied.
I didn't think it would happen, honestly.
Well, someone kept going on and on, so I guess now we'll have to do a second part.
Yeah, it was me.
Yeah.
It was me.
So now we're going to have two parts of this. Blame Poodle.
It's not my fault. You talk just as... I wonder if we could see how much... If we had a graph of how much one talked and how much the other talked.
Believe me, I do the editing. I know.
That is not true.
Y'all, so we are going to be doing a part two, you know, because we have time this week. Great. That's great. So, y'all, go to realitygazepodcast.com. That's where you can find everything that we got's going on. You can also
next
follow us
week,
on Instagram at realitygazepodcast as well.
Y'all, next episode, butter is coming.
For the part two butter. Of part one, butter will be there.
Butter, so, we got Angela and Michael. We got everybody.
We call these people Lonely Hearts Poodle because aren't we all just Lonely Hearts looking for love in all the wrong places?
What even happened on this? I don't even know what to say.
Oh, my God.
You should give me a little bit more
We do this every time. We do this every time. Y'all.
I don't remember.
And if you are sitting in a podcast watching your podcast partner...
Look through a legal pad.
Whirl around in his falsetto singing some shit nobody knows while you see a Nellie Olson wig in the background just sitting
looking at Nellie Olson wig. Ooh.
If you've lived that life, call us.
Call us.
Sibling fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai.
Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.